Welcome to the Sunday morning teaching from Buckeye Christian Church in Grove City. We're so glad you've joined us today and welcome you to visit in person and worship with us. Find out more about us at buckeyecc.org. Now enjoy this week's message.
Well, good morning, everyone. I pray that everyone has had a blessed week. My name is John Thomason, and I am the lead minister here at Buckeye Christian Church. So we are well into our series called The First Followers. And throughout this series, we are taking a look at how the first followers did exactly what Jesus was asking us all to do. And last week, we had the second part of Peter and John's story. So the recap is these two men were just living out their lives and they were going to a time of prayer and they were stopped by a lame beggar who could not walk. And the beggar asked them for some money. But they gave this man something so much more than just money. They gave him Jesus. They heal this beggar, like I said, who did not have the ability to walk, and they told him that this was all done in the name of Jesus Christ. With everybody else seeing this happening, they all of a sudden are going, this is amazing, this is awesome. They're hearing how Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, that salvation is found through him alone, and thousands of people give their life to Christ. Then last week, we looked at how the Jewish authorities reacted to them. This group was mad at John and Peter for speaking the truth of Jesus of Nazareth, but they were also mad that they were talking about how Jesus rose from the dead, and that when Jesus is accepted as our Lord and Savior, we also get to have eternal life. So they weren't sure what to do, so they threw John and Peter in jail overnight. But because so many people were in awe of the healing of this beggar that could not walk, they were like, I'm not sure we should actually do anything to these men, because if thousands of people start to riot, they're in trouble. So the leaders feared what the people may do, and so they take some action against John and Peter by threatening them. They tell them, you have to stop speaking. You have to stop spreading the news about Jesus. You have to stop saying these things, or we're going to have to go and do something even worse. But Peter says, sorry, we cannot help it. This is something that we know is truth. It is inside of us. It is just exploding out there. And we have to tell everybody about how awesome Jesus is. And then he also challenges them and says, should we listen to man or should we listen to God? And they couldn't respond with, well, listen to us, because they knew that God is real and that he lives. And so they were bold. John and Peter were bold in their faith no matter what was coming. So this week, though, is going to look a little bit different. It's actually the next step in everything that's been going on in the first church. But I want to let you know that this story can be a little controversial, and we'll talk about that. If you would turn to Acts 5, we're going to start in Acts 5, verses 1 through 11. It says, now a man named Ananias, together with his wife Sapphira, also sold a piece of property. With his wife's full knowledge, he kept back part of the money for himself, but brought the rest and put it at the apostles' feet. Then Peter said, Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and have kept for yourself some of the money you received for the land? Didn't it belong to you before it was sold? And after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? What made you think of doing such a thing? You have not lied just to human beings, but to God. When Ananias heard this, he fell down and died. And great fear seized all who heard what had happened. Then some young men came forward, wrapped up his body, and carried him out and buried him. About 3 hours later, his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. Peter asked her, tell me, is this the price you and Ananias got for the land? Yes, she said, that is the price. Peter said to her, how could you conspire to test the Spirit of the Lord? Listen, the feet of the men who buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out also. At that moment, she fell down at his feet and died. Then the young men came in, and finding her dead, carried her out and buried her beside her husband. Great fear seized the whole church and all who heard about these events. So to start off, I want to say that this is still very early in the history of the church. And if you go back just a few chapters to Acts 2, where we will see the creation of the first church, we see that many sold their properties and their possessions to give to those who were in need. So when we get to this part in Acts 5, it starts off with this one couple named Ananias and Sapphira, and it says that they sold a piece of property also. So they also sold. So if you did not read Acts up to this point, you'd be going, what do you mean also? Who else is doing this? Well, that's all the way back in Acts chapter 2. So, but this was something that was known, that those who had extra, or those who felt the calling from God to sell some of their stuff and some of their property, they could give it to those who are in need. This was very prevalent. This was happening all throughout the church. And this couple, they wanted to do this as well. But instantly, when you get to verse 2, it gets really shady. Ananias had decided to keep back part of the money for himself. And you have to understand, his wife knew exactly what was the plan. But what they did was, they brought the rest of the money to the apostles and kept some to themselves. And we have to clear something up. It is not that the couple kept some of the proceeds of the sale and the land, and that's the problem. Because I've heard the argument, so I have to give everything away. Why were Ananias and Sapphira punished for keeping some of their own money? Well, it's because it's not about the money that was given, and it's not about the money that was withheld. And we are told that. It's what Peter says in verse 3. He says, how has Satan so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit? And what did you do? You kept that money then for yourself. And he calls them out. And he says, wasn't that your land at your disposal that you can do whatever you want? Meaning also, this money that you have, you can do whatever you feel like with it. So why did you decide to lie about it? Why did you decide to come forward and present something that was false? So what we're getting at here is that Ananias and Sapphira, their hearts were not in the right place. If anything, their hearts were very far from God. And it was each of them. Sapphira did not die because of her husband's heart lies in sin. She had her own chance to say what happened. She knew beforehand that Ananias was planning on holding back the money and lying about it. And then Peter also gives her a chance. He flat out says, so this is everything? And she says, yes, of course, this is everything. They sold the property and said, here is the money from the land. But they were lying about what they had received. And there could be so many motives that we could come up behind it. You know, it could have been because a bigger number looks better, right? So somebody gives $20 and you're like, that is awesome that you're giving. That's fantastic and wonderful. But when somebody donates $20,000, people start to go, wow, that was amazing. That's awesome. So maybe they were looking for some accolades, you know, for people to clap and say, you're so awesome. Or maybe they were just hoping for like a position in the early church. Well, look how much we've given. So now we should have some power, right? Put us in leadership. We have no clue what the reason was of why they did it. What we do know is that they lied. And more importantly, what we do know is that their hearts were not for God. Their hearts were not towards helping the early church to spread the good news of Jesus. They had sinful and evil motives. And what's awesome is Peter knew it. But it's not just because he's a detective, okay? He wasn't like, something seems off here. No, that wasn't what it was. It says the Holy Spirit was the one leading him. That's God living inside of us, said, hey, something's off here. This is not right. This is not true. And he listened to the Holy Spirit and went, whoa, what are you doing, Ananias? What's the reason behind this? But them lying and everything that they were doing comes up as a question of why did they die for their lies? That's where the controversy comes from. And it's that next part. It says that when Ananias heard this, what happened? He instantly fell to the ground dead. They wrapped up his body and they buried him. And then 3 hours later, his wife comes in. And then Peter asks her the same question. This is the whole amount? She says, yep. And then Peter lets her know, I want you to know your husband was just here. He's already dead. We buried him. We've already taken him out. And when you look at this, many people go, this is our God? This is our Savior? Some have said, this reminds me of the God of the Old Testament, you know? It's a very different type of God, right? Where God allows people to fall down dead for their sins. But this is happening in Acts, so that means this is after Jesus. This is after we've been shown grace through the death of Jesus Christ. His preaching on forgiveness and love and salvation through Him alone. It just seems almost like the opposite, right? The story has been a point of contention for many believers. And I have talked about this and I've preached on this. I've been in Bible studies devoted to just this story. And always the same questions happen. How could God do this? Why would God not show them grace? Many say, well, this just seems wrong. My favorite is they say, it's not fair. This doesn't seem fair. And I look at the story, and to be honest, just looking back, I see where they're coming from. Through their eyes, I see what they see. It seems almost like this harsh punishment. Like you lied and died. Ooh, well, I probably should have died 100 times over then, right? But what we're going to truly focus on today is exactly what's going on. And we have to understand the why this happened. And the why is very simple. And I hope you're ready for it. Because you may not like the answer. The why? Because God deemed it so. Because God said, this is what needs to happen. And we have to understand that my God, your God, our God, the God of Jacob and Abraham, the God who sent His one and only Son, Jesus, to die for us. He is all-powerful. He is all-knowing. He is good. He is just. And He knows what is best. If you were looking for a straight answer like, well, God saw their future and He saw that they were going to be the worst of the worst people on planet Earth, that's not the answer you're going to get. We don't really know exactly why this happened this way. But what we're going to get today is who God is, that we need to have faith in God, faith that He is in control, faith that He knows what is best. As far as people go, we are deserving of nothing but wrath and death. And we know that throughout the Bible. If you go to Romans 3:23, it's very clear exactly what this looks like. It says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." All have sinned, meaning that no one is innocent. Not one human being living on this earth will ever be sinless except for Jesus, okay? For the first man, Adam, guess what? We know what happened with him. He may have done really well for a while, but we know he sinned. The last man to be born on this earth will sin. We all sin and we're all corrupt. And that's what Romans 3:23 is saying. But what does that mean for us? So we read in Romans 6:23, we read that there is a cost for these sins, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Those things that you do against God, those things that are evil, those sins, there's a price for it. And it tells us what that price is. That cost is death, and a price needs to be paid. A price for the things that you and I have individually done wrong against Him. And if you did not know, God through the ages has allowed us to choose against Him. And there are different consequences that come about depending on which sin you're committing. But we know that every sin has a cost. And that cost is death. So when we read even from the Old Testament, we need to know why He does these things. Who is God? We need to understand what this looks like. And so we're going to go to Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9. Isaiah 55, 8 and 9. And we're going to get a glimpse of who God is. It says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." We want to set the lines on what is right and what is fair, but we never have the whole picture. We cannot even fathom what God knows and can see because we only see the now. We might even be able to see what may happen in the future a little bit, and we know a little bit about the past. And let's just say you have a sandwich of where you know the last 100 years back behind us and the 100 years that are to come. If you knew 200 years of knowledge, we would go, "I know it all. I have all the answers." And God is saying, you have no clue. First and foremost, that 200 years, you only know your piece of what you can see, let alone 1,000 years, let alone 10,000 years from all of existence and way beyond that. And God is saying, I know, I've seen the whole picture. I know what this looks like. And he knows what is good and right. Too often, we use that word, fair. I hate that word. And what do kids say?
Well, that's not fair.
Right? And then what does a parent say?
Well, life isn't fair.
Right? That's 100% what is said. And it's so interesting because fair is an opinion. It's based off of what you think is right and wrong. And that's not the way it's supposed to be. The best example of that God knows the plan for humans is that before we were even existing in the beginning of the Bible, in the book of Genesis, we know that Jesus was already there. And then it is confirmed in the beginning of the book of John. It says that he was already there. It's almost like God had a plan. Weird. It's almost like he knows. But for some reason, what do? We say, well, I know. But the longer that I'm on this earth, the longer that I read this Bible, every time I learn something new, I realize I know even less than I thought. Every single answer I get gives me 37 other questions where I go, wait, why? What? How? How do we even get here? What's going on? And Jesus was there from the beginning because God had a plan. And it's because God's thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. And I say, thank God that his ways are not my ways. Because too often we want to be judge, jury, and executioner. And we make all these decisions in our own wants and understanding. From what I know in this world and the existence of time, I know so little. We all do. Because we can only comprehend so much. We only live here for so long. And that's why we have to back up and give up control. We need to say, you are God, and I am not. Lord, let it be your will and your way and not my own. Because I don't get it. I don't see what you're doing here, but I'm going to trust you. So we know that his ways are not our ways. But what are his ways? This is such an important question. You have to know God's ways are good. Truly good. Not the way that we defined good. Because when we look at certain people and they're like, oh, that's a good person. Well, compared to who? Compared to God? Compared to Jesus? Okay, maybe not that far. It's just one of those things where he is truly good. And we're going to go through just a few verses about how God is good. So we're going to turn to Psalm 145, Psalm 145, verses 8 and 9. I love these verses in Psalm, but every time I go through Psalm, I think I say that about every single one of them. I just go, wow, this one's awesome. And it's because they're all awesome. But we're going to do Psalm 145, verses 8 and 9. It says, the Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. When you truly understand what this is saying, this is a good and just God. It says he is slow to anger. Trust me, he has every reason to be upset with us. Every single reason. He has every single reason to punish us. We deserve nothing but God's wrath. It says, though, here instead, he shows us grace, he shows us compassion, and he shows us love instead. And when you go through that verse 8, you go, wow, that is a good God. But then you get to verse 9. And I love this part. It says, he is good to just those who love him. No, it says he is good to all. And I think a lot of us hate that. What do you mean he's good to all? I'm putting my life out there completely for God, and you're telling me he's good to the murderer? Yeah, he is. He's good to all. Well, what about the really vile and evil people on this earth? What about those people? I don't know if you understand what this means. He's good to all people. And what that means is that he loves them as well. He made a way for them. He wants them as well. But they have a choice. And they need to choose him. to give their lives to Him. When you look at that and go, yes, this person has done disgusting, horrible things in this life, God is saying, choose me, choose my son, and you can be forgiven, you can be set free. Why? Because He loves us. Not because you deserve it, but it's all because of His abounding love. That is a good God. And then we get into the New Testament. Romans 5. Romans 5, verses 6 through 8. Romans 5, 6 through 8. This is what it says. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. At just the right time is what that says. Again, it's almost like He had a plan, a perfect plan to help us, to save us. And it says that we were powerless, meaning we could do nothing to actually make things better. It says that God sent His one and only Son, Jesus, to die for us. And I love the "who is us" part. It says the ungodly. How often do we think about people who are ungodly? Those who are living actively against God. Those ungodly people. I hear, oh, it's the pagans. Oh, it's the heathens. Oh, those ungodly people. And you go, oh, He died for them. That's awesome. But one thing we need to understand, at one point, we were all ungodly people. That's how that works. But for some reason, we want to put levels of ungodliness. We like to point at others and go, dude, I'm better than that guy, right? Like, I'm doing awesome compared to this guy. Like, he has done some horrible, disgusting things. So that means I need less grace, right? I've been saved more, right? Now, it's such a weird level that we want to put on there. But it's all the same. We were all ungodly, deserving of nothing but wrath and death. And God said, I know you all have sinned. I know you all have fallen short of what God had intended for all of us. But He says, I love you too, and I want you to choose me. But then it becomes so clear in the next verse. It says, most people will not sacrifice their life for a righteous person, and most people, even for a good person, let alone a person we see or deem that does not deserve it. We say, they've made this. They've created this hole they live in. That's not my problem. But God is saying, I love you in spite of all that. I want to save you from your sin and yourself. And when you understand that He's giving you this freedom of choice to truly be saved, all you can say is, that is a good God. That is an all-knowing God. That is a forgiving and compassionate God. That is my God. So what we need to do is, now that we know who He is, we know that He's good, we know that He's loving, we know that He actually knows everything and His ways are not our ways, let's go back. Let's read Acts 5, 1 through 11 again, because we're looking at it now through a different lens. We're seeing it from a way that God is in control, not the way that we want things to happen. So let's read Acts 5, 1 through 11. It says, now a man named Ananias, together with his wife Sapphira, also sold a piece of property. With his wife's full knowledge, he kept back part of the money for himself, but brought the rest and put it at the apostles' feet. Then Peter said, Ananias, how is it that Satan has filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and have kept for yourself some of the money you received for the land? Didn't it belong to you before it was sold? And after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? What made you think of doing such a thing? You have not lied just to human beings, but to God. When Ananias heard this, he fell down and died, and great fear seized all who heard what had happened. Then some young men came forward, wrapped up his body, and carried him out and buried him. About 3 hours later, his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. Peter asked her, tell me, is this the price you and Ananias got for the land? Yes, she said, that is the price. Peter said to her, How could you conspire to test the Spirit of the Lord? Listen, the feet of the men who buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out also. At that moment, she fell down at his feet and died. Then the young men came in, and finding her dead, carried her out and buried her beside her husband. Great fear seized the whole church and all who heard about these events. When we look at this again, we can see God has a reason. God was not doing this because he had a bad day and wanted to take it out on somebody. Right? Ugh, these people again. Well, I'm going to make an example. No, that's not what happened. But God knows the heart. And we're to trust him, trust his ways. And to be honest, when I read verse 11, it kind of makes sense of why he would do this. It says, great fear seized the whole church and all who heard about these events. What this showed is that God is not playing around. God loves the church. God loves the people. And he's going to use the church to change the world in his son's name. He's setting the precedent here. And that precedent is that God is here, God is active, and God is not to be messed with. He has the final say, and he knows what is best. I have so many of my own thoughts about what happened with this couple, but it comes down to this. Let God lead. Give God your heart, and know that he is for all. Get your heart right when it comes to your life. But also, get your heart right when it comes to the church. You need to hear this. This is God's church. Not your church. Not my church. The whole reason the church exists is to glorify him alone. It's not for your wants. It's not for your comforts. It's not so you can have a sense of power. Not at all. Remember who is king. It is the Lord of creation, and he wants you to give your all to him. So how can you do that? Trust him and give him your heart. This is what brings me to the challenge for this week. So easy to say, so hard to do. Give God your heart. I mean your whole heart. Ask him what he wants for you and from you. Pray to him, worship him, listen for his calling, and then give him your all. When you can sit back and say, God, I trust you completely, you're going to find a freedom. You're going to say, I know he's good. And no matter what happens in this life, no matter what is beating me down, no matter what I say isn't fair, we can know it's okay. Why? Because he's good. And he is with me. And he loves me. And I'll get to be with him forever when I leave this place.
We trust you have been challenged and encouraged by today's message from lead minister John Thomason at Buckeye Christian Church in Grove City. For service times, to hear today's message again, or for other questions you might have, we invite you to visit our website at buckeyecc.org. We look forward to meeting you soon.